Blog Talk Radio.
I had a dream the other night that, well, I didn't understand. A figure walked in through the mist with a flintlock in his hand. His clothes were torn and dirty as he stood there by my bed. He took off his three-cornered hat, and speaking low to me, he said, "We fought a revolution to secure our liberty. We wrote the Constitution as a shield from tyranny. For future generations, this legacy we gave. In this, the land of the free, home of the brave. The freedoms we secured for you, we hoped you'd always keep. But tyrants labored endlessly while your parents were asleep. Your freedom's gone, your courage lost, you're no more than a slave. In this, the land of the free and home of the brave. You buy permits to travel and permits to own a gun, permits to start a business or to build a place for one. On land that you believe you own, you pay a yearly rent, although you have no voice in saying how the money's spent. Your children must attend a school that doesn't educate, and your Christian values can't be taught according to the state. You read about the current news in a regulated press, and you pay a tax you do not owe to please the IRS. Your money is no longer made of silver nor of gold. You trade your wealth for paper so your life can be controlled. You pay for crimes that make our nation turn from God in shame. You've taken Satan's number. You've traded in your name. You've given government control to those who do you harm so they could burn down churches and seize the family farm and keep our country deep in debt. Put men of God in jail. Harass your fellow countrymen while corrupted courts prevail. Your public servants don't uphold the solemn oaths they've sworn. And your daughters visit doctors so their children won't be born. Your leaders send artillery and guns to foreign shores and send your sons to slaughter fighting other people's wars. Can you regain the freedoms for which we fought and died? Or don't you have the courage or the faith to stand with pride? And are there no more values for which you'll fight to save? Or do you wish your children to live in fear and be a slave? Oh, sons of the Republic, arise, take a stand, defend the Constitution, the supreme law of the land. Preserve our great Republic and each God-given right, and pray to God to keep the torch of freedom burning bright. As I awoke, he'd vanished in the mist from whence he came. His words were true. We are not free, but we have ourselves to blame. For even now, as tyrants trample each God-given right, we only watch and tremble, too afraid to stand and fight. If he stood by your bedside to dream while you were asleep and wondered what remains of the freedoms he'd fought to keep, what would be your answer if he called out from the grave, "Is this still the land of the free and home of the brave?" God bless you, and God bless this room.
People in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Lord, he's coming home to you. Well, I'm a militia, so I volunteer to load that whole damn boat myself with kegs and kegs of free bubble up and survival tins of that rainbow stew. Obama in one canoe, sweet home Mombasa, where the skies are so blue. Sweet home Mombasa, Lord, he's coming home to you.
www.freedomizerradio.com. It is Friday, October 5th, 2012, and that means it is open line Friday. Any caller, any subject, your choice. If you have a caller already on the line, let's go straight to the call 443.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing? What's your call?
Did you say, what's my call?
Yeah, what are you calling about?
I can't really hear you. You're like real staticky, or your voice is, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. What's your call about?
Oh, well, is this, this is about, like, freedom and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
What's your show like, what do you talk about?
Well, today's open line Friday where the callers get to take the number. It's about the March of the New World Order and the attempt of the free people of the world to roll it back.
Can you repeat that again, please?
As far as the number, it's about the New World Order and the people trying to roll it back.
Yeah, I got a question.
All right.
I've done research in the past, and it keeps on coming back to the same circle of powerful people. And right now, I'm real concerned about Nathaniel Rothschild. And basically, I want to see what your take on him is, if you are aware of him.
Which Rothschild?
Nathaniel. I think he's one of the younger ones. Like, he's the son of one of the Rothschilds that's in power now. He's like supposedly when his father dies, he's going to be like the head of the whole entire Illuminati. I remember reading this about 7 years ago.
I tend not to think that the Illuminati and any groups have this kind of hierarchical structure that everyone gives to them. To me, they're a bunch of cliques that all get together and try to work in common interest, but there's no honor among cliques and thieves. And so they're trying to be just...
You're breaking up, sir.
Say that again?
I said you're breaking up a little bit.
That's a problem with our studio here today. I apologize for that, but I don't think that these guys, that anyone is the head of the newspaper. It isn't your guy that you can take out and have the six power power.
Yeah, I'm just real concerned because I have a feeling that a lot of people aren't really have an eye on him, where really he's behind the backbone of a good amount of what's going on.
Well, he may in fact be behind a lot of what's going on, but there's a lot of people light chain within that operation. As I said, there's not one guy that calls the shot.
Yeah, but it goes down like this. He has an English accent. Am I correct?
I don't know.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure he has an English accent, and I'm pretty sure he's working with MI6 and Prince Charles. That's the Queen Elizabeth of England, her son. So I think that the prince and him and his buddies are behind basically a lot. Like, say, for instance, the Middle East controversies, what's going on out there. They're trying to stir up chaos over there.
Well, certainly they're doing those kind of things with MI6. But you got to remember that MI6, CIA, ISI, all those groups are working together at the top of one organization. They have branches, like the CFR. The CFR is not the MSR operations, it's a spin-off operation.
Yeah, my concern is, it raises a question now that what you're saying is you're right, it's true, but now, do you think, like, some groups, say there's a thousand, say we even have a million people that are, coming together against the cause. There's almost no chance because these people have so much money and technology and weapons and, goons working for them that it's probably almost impossible to go any further than it is.
And I understand like one of those bitter subjects from 1774 America. And the fact is that they don't have as much as people want to give them credit for. The only power they have is the power they're given by the rest of people following their bullshit orders. When the military decides to stand down, like happened in Russia with the Berlin Wall fall, then
yeah, it's very difficult to hear you, sir.
I apologize for that. I'm going to let you go and I'll continue
okay.
The show. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for taking my call then.
Thank you very much. Perhaps it's a problem with both mics being working on the thing. There is no kind of one group in charge of this new world order operation, and they are not. The power is not so much that it can't be overcome. It's a pyramid scheme that they're watching and unravel, and they've had less power now than they've had at any other time in their history because a larger and larger section of the people in America, in Britain, in Canada, in the Middle East are becoming aware of their plot and their schemes. And without the consent and the willful obedience of the people, these pro-government extremist control groups simply have no power. And we're right back here on the Jim Benson Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours. Remember to join us here on Open Line Friday at 347-324-3704. 347-324-3704. When we come back, your calls and a bunch of stories today in the news. All kinds of stories. We'll be back here on Open Line Friday on the Jim Benson Show, featuring opinions so good they ought to be yours.
You know, I talked to several of you people at the campus when I went out to visit the campus to look around the other day. I talked with several of you, and we asked each other a lot of questions. I asked you questions, you asked me questions, And an idea for a song started brewing then. And since I saw you last Saturday, I wrote this song. And I just finished writing this song, the fourth or fifth rewrite this morning, so that's why I've got to have the cards to remind myself of what the words are, the last version I wrote. This song is a very personal thing, I suppose you might say, but it's the way I feel about a lot of things. This song is called The Man in Black. Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance always have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the poor and the beaten down, living in the hopeless, hungry side of town. And I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but still is there because he's a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who've never read or listened to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why, you think he's talking straight to you and me? Well, we're doing mighty fine, I do suppose, in our streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I wear it for the sick and lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. I wear the black in mourning for the lives that could have been. Each week we lose 100 fine young men. And yes, I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. And I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. Well, there's things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of white. I'd love to wear a rainbow every day to tell the world that everything's okay. But maybe I can carry off a little darkness on my back till things are brighter. I'm the man in black.
I've been walking a tightrope between fact and fiction, been wrestling with demons in small bottle prisons, been talking to sinners who claim to be Christian, been shouting at leaders who claim to be listening, and the pendulum swings from the left to the right, its momentum increases the need for the fight. Like a moment of blindness and a lifetime of sight, and I am caught somewhere in the middle. A soft president blind to the needs of his people,
Freedomizerradio.com. Thanks for sticking with us through these problems here with the studio. We've got some stories to cover in the last segment here of this show. An American gunman killed in Israel today, or yesterday, depending on the timeline. It looks like today. An American gunman killed in an Israeli hotel shootout without a borders. An American man opened fire in an Israeli seaside hotel packed with tourists on Friday after losing his job there, killing one person before being shot dead in a standoff with security forces. The firefight erupted in the popular Red Sea Resort of Eilat, where New York native William Hershkovitz, 23, attacked a security guard at the Leonardo Club Hotel and snatched his gun, officials and witnesses said. He then shot dead one of the hotel chefs, whom police identified as 32-year-old Armando Abed. Police and military counterterrorism officers swiftly surrounded the hotel, and Hershkovitz barricaded himself in the kitchen. After thorough negotiations, there was an exchange of fire, and Hershkovitz was shot dead, Eilat police spokesman Leo Ben Simon said. An Israeli hotel guest, Avram Sina, said he had tried to wrestle the gunman to the ground before he started shooting, while terrified tourists dived for cover behind a sofa in the hotel lobby. He saw him beat the guard and grab his weapon and the magazine, Sarah told Israeli television, adding that the gunman then took aim at a member of Sarah's family. Hershkovitz had arrived in Israel in August as part of a five-month Israeli government-sponsored program meant to help foreigners become acquainted with the country. He and about 80 other participants in the program were working in hotels throughout Eilat. Fishkovitz on Thursday was told to leave the program after hotel staff had lodged complaints against him. He, quote, had met all admission requirements and his medical record was clean, says Ian Rowe, the company which sponsored the trips. The internationally funded Jewish agency, another of the program's sponsors, said it had appointed a panel to examine how Hershkovitz had been accepted. So there you have it, American on Israeli violence in Israel. We'll see if this gets the same coverage as the bus blowing up in Israel, which may or may not have been carried out by an American. Also in the It's About Time category of news, the FBI has arrived on scene in Benghazi. That's why the attack happened last month, September 11th, 2012. It's now October 5th, 2012. The article I'm looking at posted October 4th, 2012. And it carries the news that U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation has made it to the scene of the crime after 3 weeks. Escorted by several dozen special operations forces, FBI agents on Thursday entered the ruins of the American diplomatic compound in Benghazi, Libya, as part of their investigation into the killing there of Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans. This is out of the New York Times. Security fears had kept the FBI agents from traveling the 400 miles from the American embassy in Tripoli, the Libyan capital, to collect evidence at a crime scene that was trampled, looted, and badly burned by militants more than 3 weeks ago. Administration officials said Thursday the delay was caused in part by the Libyan government, which they described as slow in granting approval for the mission. The officials said the agents flew from Tripoli in a C-130 military transport plane and were then driven to the compound in armored cars. The officials did not say how many FBI agents were involved or precisely how long they were on the ground. The Pentagon Press Secretary George Little would only say at a briefing that the agents and their military escorts were in Benghazi, quote, for a number of hours, close quote, before returning to Tripoli. The agents risked their gun. It took them 3 weeks to get there, their gun in a couple of hours. The agents were specialists in evidence collection, according to law enforcement officials, and were there to sift through the wreckage and to determine in better detail how the attack unfolded some 3 weeks after it occurred. It is unclear how much can still be gleaned from the site, which a senior American law enforcement official has described as so badly degraded, as a quote, degraded in quote, that linking evidence to the attackers will be difficult at best. Already, readers, curiosity seekers, and reporters have been through the site, which is only protected by two private security guards hired by the compound Libyan owner, says the Washington Post. On Wednesday, a Post reporter at the site discovered loosely secured sensitive documents about American operations in Libya, some of which were turned over to the State Department last month. CNN discovered Mr. Stephen Dyer in the wreckage. CNN, just walking along, happened to find a diary in the wreckage of this building. Unfortunately, the FBI was unable to get there in time to find it themselves, but perhaps it's fortunate, because the FBI has a history of losing certain key pieces of evidence. You remember, of course, the videotape from across the street in the Mayor Building in Oklahoma on April 19, 1995. Two video cameras in the bank captured what would have been the attackers pulling up in their rider truck and walking away. Captured it on video tape. The tapes were lost in the duplication process in the FBI crime lab. So perhaps it's best that the information like suicide note diary was not found by the FBI, for then the bloodstream confessions would not have been read by anyone. They would have been simply destroyed. It seems rather obvious to those who look at these things that what's going on here is that the Central Intelligence Agency, which they call themselves Al-Qaeda on international news broadcasts, the Central Intelligence Agency engaged itself in some kind of activity on September 11th in Libya. They stole sensitive documents, like the ones pertaining to oil contracts, and the ones pertaining to which agents were acting as double agents in Libya. All of the documents relating to who was doing what, where, and how just ended up missing. They then concocted a bullshit story about an even more bullshit movie and tried to blame the attack on the irrationality of the Libyan people. And got all riled up over seeing a preview they didn't like and decided to kill an American ambassador. None of that's true. In fact, it was a coordinated, well-planned attack, an assault that left two former Navy SEALs dead, an assault that left an American ambassador dead, an American ambassador who was rescued by the Libyan people. That's the part of the story, aside from the Vince Foster diary that was found, that's the part of the story that bothers me the most. Officially, this Stevens fellow, the ambassador, had a personal security detail. People who executive protection type security detail, whose job it is to stay right with him, no matter where he goes. That's their job. In a crisis especially. Now, they were told that the fires were so thick that the black smoke prevented them from maintaining contact with the ambassador. They say in the thick black smoke, they lost contact with the ambassador. But then we have to believe that the Libyan people were able to find the ambassador through the same thick black smoke, without any security, security apparatuses, no gas masks, etc. And they were able to carry him to safety. So obviously the fire where the ambassador was wasn't that bad. Nor was it smoke. In fact, those pictures of people dancing around in the burning building. And it's burning in spots. And it's still standing today. They gave you one bullshit story after another about what happened in our embassy. They tried to blame it on the Libyan people, on their irrational hatred for a hate-inspiring movie. And now the FBI gets there some several weeks later and says, yeah, there's pretty much nothing we can do anymore. The crime scene's been pretty well destroyed. We're going to look and do our best, but we only have a couple of hours, and then we have to fly back out again. So don't be surprised if we don't uncover anything of importance. Here the article continues, but even in Tripoli, the investigation has been hobbled by the tenuous security in Libya after the overthrow of Gaddafi. Late last month, investigators were so fearful about the risk of taking some potential Libyan witnesses into the American embassy that they resorted to questioning people in cars outside the embassy. The agents are also operating without any help on the ground from the CIA, which had about a dozen intelligence operatives and contractors in Benghazi until the attacks were completed, conducting surveillance and collecting information on militant groups in the city and arming those militant groups with rocket-propelled grenades. There were among more than two dozen American personnel evacuated from Benghazi after the attack. American counterterrorism officials said Benghazi residents are now focused on a local militant group, Ansar al-Sharia, as the main force behind the attack, which occurred on the 11th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, where terrorists flew two aluminum planes and knocked down three steel buildings in New York, and a cruise missile hit the Pentagon after a commercial airliner whose pilot had run drills of planes flying into the Pentagon was, with military training, taken over by one guy with a razor blade and unable in the melee to punch in the hijack code. The hijacker, who couldn't land a Cessna, then did some kind of really complicated super dive directly into the face of the Pentagon, where trillions of dollars had gone missing, and the exact rooms where they were missing, and how all the documents pertaining to the lost money, that's where it's hit by the plane or the missile at the time. On the anniversary of these attacks, the CIA strikes again. Also, they're continuing this story about this debate. Apparently, I watched a completely different debate than the establishment media. He fell out, turncoat, shame for Patrick J. Buchanan, who is... Here's the headline in this article, published 19 hours ago. We're not going to cover the whole thing, it doesn't look like, but we'll be able to cover the thesis of it and its ridiculousness. Just by looking at the title, which is all I've seen so far. From Patrick J. Buchanan, Romney's best debate performance in 52 years. He's saying this is the best debate performance since the Kennedy-Nixon debate. And he does that in there with the possible exception of Reagan's demolition of Carter in 1980. But where Reagan won was, this is a quote from the article, where Reagan won was style and quips. Style and quips Reagan won with, not his policies, according to Buchanan. There you go again in this closing line, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Romney crushed Obama on both substance and style. Liberals like a contender, so queued up by his title shot that between rounds he could not sit on his stool, which stood in his corner to rush out and re-engage the champ the instant the bell sounded for the next round. Obama was marred with facts, figures, anecdotes, arguments, jokes, quips. A smiling Romney was on offense all night, and the president's performance seemed inexplicable. Now, I don't know what debate Buchanan was watching. Romney looked like a nervous legacy, a fake, classic person that people just intrinsically don't like. Obama seemed calm, cool, and collected, and pushed on multiple occasions, pushed Romney to a specific on his plans, which Romney could not deliver. Now, many of you candidates swayed by the fact that Romney was the Republican in the race. And so whatever we happen to say, Buchanan is going to be supported of. But the middle America who's making their decision on those debates isn't swayed by those things. Okay, and to argue that Romney won the debate, to me, is ludicrous. And to argue that Romney gave the best debate performance in 52 years, 52 years, is just laughable. Romney gave a subpar debate performance. Obama gave a subpar debate performance. I know better than Romney. And set his game plan and hit the marks he needed to hit and won the debate. But the establishment, they're going to switch this up. But this is, I'm convinced, this best debate ever, the Democrats being upset, the Matthews is being upset with Obama's debate performance, is the big contention to make it seem like there's an actual race out of this. By the time we get done with the debate, MSNBC is going to be singing a different tune, and Obama's going to have turned it around. Now, there's simply no way an objective person could have looked at this debate and seen Romney as walking away with it. At best, he showed him to a tie. At best. But amongst those two swing voters, it's my opinion to remember, so good they're out of the years, that Obama, right before with Romney, amongst that two demographics. He's back here on Monday, doing his dad on the Jim Denver show, and what more opinion so good they're out of the year, as soon as we begin the broadcast day on Freedomizer Radio, www.freedomizerradio.com.
And the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Hey, Mr. Politician, living on that hill. Living in that life of luxury, oh, we the people still don't have a clue how the other half lives, and that is a shame. It's time to stop the tyranny. How about our children?
good morning, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio today. Today is October 5th, and we have a very special program here today on See the Power in You. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we will be with you right after that with my very special guest. So stay tuned. There we go. All right.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me, what legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights, or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Greetings, this is Blake the Eccentric, and I want to invite you to check out my new show on Freedomizer Radio, The Eccentric Perspective. It's sort of a red pill, blue pill, going down the rabbit hole kind of show, featuring outside-the-box politics, philosophy, and gonzo journalism. But be warned, with knowledge comes responsibility, and you might not see the world the same way again. As I will attempt to open your mind, speak to your common sense, and challenge your critical thinking skills. So please join me Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday from noon to 1:30 Pacific Time. Once again, that's Eccentric Perspective, only on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative. Weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Lindsey Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Just a little tidbit for you that are listening in today. Lindsey Williams was on Proof Negative Show last night, so check the archives. Go to freedomizerradio.com. At the top of the page, you'll find a button called FR Tour, little drop-down menu, and you'll find the archives there. And you can check out Lindsey Williams on Freedomizer Radio. So thank you all again for tuning in today. I have a very, very, very special guest today. One of the most beautiful things is when we make the connections with other human beings, and this is about one of those connections. A friend of mine and I were at a local restaurant having dinner, and we were talking about what was going on in the world. And the people that were sitting next to me jumped into our energy when they heard the name Ron Paul. And I'm very, very pleased to be able to share with you a wonderful energy exchange, and we're going to exchange some great energy today. Thank you for joining us today, Bob, and welcome to Freedomizer Radio.
Wow, thank you very much. You're making me feel very good. Yeah, it was a wonderful experience. It really was. And what's really exciting is the last 6 months I've had so many experiences like that. I feel like my life's been kind of taken out of my hands almost. It's just kind of exciting.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
So what we want to share with the audience today is some poetry that you have shared with me personally.
Okay.
I'd like to share that with the audience. But first I'd like a little background on you personally and your own personal journey that brought you to that first poem that we're going to talk about, California.
Okay. Well, I probably started writing songs and poems when I was like 18 or so, and it was something I would occasionally do. It wasn't a daily thing for me, but every once in a while I found myself in the right brain mood and just focus on things and have to put it on paper. A California poem was kind of interesting because I actually woke up having a dream with ideas flashing through my head, and it made me get out of bed and go write things down. I mean, I just couldn't let go of it. And I'd say about an hour later, I had all these notes, and then all I had to do was put it in some form of poetic language so that it could be remembered and enjoyed. And everybody I've shared it with has liked it. But before I say the poem, I'll say that I left Illinois when I was 18 years old, set out for California. It was just calling me. I had been here on vacation a couple times with my folks, loved the beach and the palm trees, and I had to go. So after high school, I said goodbye to my family and friends, set out with very little money, and just hopped in the car and drove Route 66 from one end to the other, and settled, ending up right at the end of it in Santa Monica in Venice Beach, and began an adventure that was just a marvelous life. I was really trying to get into the music business, but I wasn't very driven, and I didn't try hard enough, and before you knew it, I met somebody that grabbed my attention, and I got married. A year later, had a child. A year later, had another child. Then my focus was on just making it from 1 week to the next and paying the bills. And so music got kind of shelved. But it's always been a part of me. It's always been, you know, reminding me from time to time it's one of my loves. And so years later, the California poem came into my head, and I wrote it down. And so let me go ahead and share that with you right now.
Okay, like that.
In the summer of 60 is when it began. A dream was born and grew into a plan that caused me to search for this fabulous land, California, where money was lining the sides of the streets. Prominent people were waiting to meet and throw all their glitter right there at my feet, California. So I set out in search of my fortune and fame, pondered the things I knew I would gain, to live in a land with no sorrow or pain, California. There were beautiful women all over the beach, prosperity looming within an arm's reach, and with my vast talents, the things I could teach, California. But 40 years later, talent aside, seemed like something inside me has died, so I wonder if somebody somewhere has lied. California, I found that the streets are not covered with gold. After a while, the work still gets old, and when the sun sets, the night can get cold in California. And most people here are too busy to care. Those that have things just don't want to share. And sometimes I wonder what I'm doing here in California. And those beautiful women aren't looking for me. And those prominent people seek prosperity, so my dreams have dimmed to reality of California. But life isn't over. It's merely a test. Future's not better. It's really the best. You learn. What are your plans for the rest? California? Well, if it's not the land, the sea, or the sun, and it's not the people, the things, or the fun, what's the attraction that makes them all come to California? It's really this dream they want to be real, and merely a feeling that they want to feel, so this is the place that's become the big deal, California. But a dream can really be had anywhere, and back there were people who cared, and is this place really better than there, California? Problem is, when you're reaching too high, it's easy to miss when your goal is the sky. Sooner or later, we're all going to die in California. So maybe it's better you slow down the pace, try not to live like rats in a race, and recognize this is just a nice place, California. That's California.
I like it very much.
Yeah, I like it too. It always makes me feel good.
Well, it's one of those things you said that, you know, you got tied up in life, and all of us do, especially people that have young families. Mm-hmm. It takes all our energy to cope with new relationships and new responsibilities. And I think that's where a lot of people are, even today, in that mode of stretching themselves to include all of those things in their life. And so some of the things that we talk about here on Freedomizer Radio, and we're trying to get people to pay attention to, it's just not in the realm of that young family as they're struggling to make a place here in humanity.
Yeah, that's an interesting statement. I know that the world that we have surrounding us is working on us full time to keep us from discovering our true potential. I know that. It just keeps us too busy. We're on the gerbil wheel all the time. And I think it's by design. I don't think it's any accident. I think that we're kept under a lot of pressure. And in addition to having to work to make it from day to day, we're also distracted by all the negative things they throw in our face, and then we're kept under pressure, and we're divided in just about every way imaginable, so that people don't really learn how to pull together and how to draw to the real connection of love and power in the universe.
Yeah. Well, and here's an interesting part of the conversation that you and I had during the second time we met, and that is about our connection with each other and energy and how we're building that energy together. So can you tell us a little bit about your underlying philosophies of life now that you're starting to strengthen yourself in this new adventure?
Yeah, you know, I think the best thing to say is that my life has always been a bit of adventure, but for some reason the last 3 years, I am 70 years old now, so I'm no longer a youngster, but I just feel like there's so much in front of me, it's amazing. I get more, every day I wake up happy and excited, and about 3 years ago I wasn't looking at life quite that way because I was focused on what's wrong with everything. I mean, I could see it like everybody else. I mean, the life, as I saw it, our world is being crumbled before our eyes, both the country, but more than just the country, the world is getting less and less of a hopeful place and more of a disappointing place. We got wars going on all over the planet. We've got sickness totally out of control. And we got people that are just so confused and divided, they don't know what to do. We got marriages breaking up. We got families falling apart. We got people looking at each other with evil eyes saying, you're a bad guy. And so I'm looking at all that stuff, and I'm saying, okay, what is wrong with this picture? So I started asking a lot of questions, and I bought my first computer 4 years ago. And I think that was a great aid because I did not realize that I could actually learn how to search online. Up until then, I was thinking, I'm too old, it's for my kids, okay? But I decided I wanted to learn how to buy and sell stocks, and Diana's dad had been with us a lot of the last year of his life, and he was really good at it. So I picked his brain quite a bit, and I also started watching CNBC for a year solid. I watched Jim Cramer's show every day, and I bought two of his books, and I says, I can do this. I know I can do this. So I started by putting $10,000 on the table, and it was like 2 months before the crash 3 or 4 years ago. And I lost two-thirds of it in months, right in front of my eyes. And it made me mad that I made that decision. And I says, okay, what am I doing wrong? So it forced me to start looking what was wrong with my actions. And the more I looked, the more I realized it wasn't really me. The whole market is crumbling. There's something behind it. There's something going on here. And I came to the conclusion that it was entirely rigged, that it wasn't fair. And then the computer has a mind of its own. it dangles all these adventures off to the side that you got to look at. And because my mind was in search mode, I looked at a few of them. I started discovering so many different things, and the more I found, the more I looked. I discovered so many sites that got me excited and more interested. I discovered Project Camelot. I probably watched 50 or more of their programs that were recorded there. Then I went to a remote viewing class with Major Ed Dames, and that was rather interesting. And then I sat in on an all-day-long event with David Icke. That was fascinating. So I'm absorbing all this stuff from different directions. And then it kind of came together because one day I'm walking my backyard as I am right now. Now, we live in a typical suburb house, but we're on a cul-de-sac. And Diana actually sold this tract, and she noticed that there was too many houses looking in the backyard here. So she ended up buying this house, planted a lot of trees. So although it's a small yard, it's a forest preserve. And these trees are really tall and surrounding me, and it's a lovely place to walk. And I'm walking it right now, enjoying the sun filtering through the trees. And I was staring at the leaves and looking at the trees and looking at the clouds. And I says, all right, I'm going to pray to the universe. And I said, okay, to whoever's listening, God in heaven, or the angels, or the ETs that are hiding behind the clouds, or the trees themselves, the ground I'm standing on, whoever's listening, whatever form it takes, I says, I love life. I love the fact I'm alive. I love my fellow man. And I see it crumbling before my eyes, and I want to do something about it. I says, help me understand what's going on. Help me understand the whole picture. And then I said, but two qualifications. I don't want to be downloaded, and I don't want to be hypnotized, because I want to know that I'm always in control of my own thinking. And that's what I said, and I meant it. And I walked away and forgot about it. The next day, I'm sitting in my living room, and I'm reading. I have no idea what the subject was, but I came strangely upon the words, I have the power. Now, the interesting thing that happened is, when I saw that, for some weird reason I cannot explain to you, I shouted, I have the power. I don't know why I responded like that. I just did. But as I did, something hit me in the chest, and it felt like a bolt of energy. It felt like I was zapped with lightning. I'm talking dead center, not in the heart, but right in the middle of the chest. And something hit me, and I stood up, and I was whimpering, and my eyes were watering. And I'm saying, okay, what just happened here? What's going on? And I felt somebody was sending me a signal or giving my attention or helping me in some regard. The thought that went through my mind, oh, by the way, I never thought that I had any power. What was going through my head is, we have the power. And as I'm having that thought, then I thought, it's kind of like maybe there's a guardian angel in the other room flipping through a magazine. And he heard that and turned around and says, yes, you learned something. And that's the thought that went through my head. So I'm going in the bathroom. I'm looking in the mirror to see if my beard changed colors. No, nothing happened there. I walked out to see if I could move objects with my mind. No, nothing happened. But I said, okay, clearly someone sent me a signal or assistance or something. And I said, I think it's a reaction to that prayer I gave. I think there's something here I need to pay attention to. Now, up until then, my life has been mostly by design. I would think, I would plan, I'd have a daily plan, I'd work it out. From that moment on, I decided, okay, I'm more flexible, I'm more open. What's coming at me? What's coming my way? What do I need to know? What do I need to learn? So it like redirected the way I do things. From then on, I think that was about maybe a year and a half ago, my life has been a complete adventure. And every day, it got more exciting and more positive. And I'm to the point now, even though I see more clearly than ever what's going on and what's behind it and where it's leading, I'm not worried about it. I mean, I tune into Alex Jones, and this poor guy he's as unhappy as can be because he sees everything that's wrong, but he doesn't know how to fix it. And I look at all that same stuff and say, yeah, there's a lot of truth here, but at the same time, I have a complete positive attitude and a lot of hope, and I know there's plenty that we can do about it. And that's where I'm at this moment in time. It's like this last year and a half, I've been led to meet so many different people like yourself. And I could give you a dozen strange experiences that happened all by themselves. And I think it's because we really do have guardian angels. And they really do help us through life. And if we ask, it may be more than just saving our life in an accident. It might actually help us to see something we're supposed to see or learn something we're supposed to know. That's what I found.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we have a lot of people that hang around me anyway that understand the power of our guardian angels. And we appreciate very much you sharing your story with us.
Yeah.
One of the things that kind of that sticks out in my mind is the absolute delightful energy that you and Diana that surrounds you, and you do some very special things that I want to say perpetuate that energy. You want to share with our audience what some of those things are?
Well, let's see. I think one of the things is the affirmation that is said on a daily basis. And actually, Diana wrote that, and she got it from a number of sources. Some of it was from George Green's writings, his books. And that kind of gets their mind remembering the direction to be in. That helps quite a bit. But on the subject of Diana, let me say something else. When we met, we came from different backgrounds, different belief systems, and we lived in different places. And it was kind of strange. It's like the only place we could have met, we did. It was at a time when I was heavy into karaoke, and I was going this place to sing, and she went there to dance. And it was halfway between the town of Oceanside that I lived in and the town of Temecula that she lived in. It's like as far as either one of us would have gone, and there it was. And it was also at a time when I was in great need of, finding somebody like her. Because before that, I had a very negative ending to a marriage that left me in a state of disappointment and depression for about a year. And I had to snap out of it. And I learned how to snap out of it by going to the health club and then going to singing a karaoke and rediscovering music and then finally meeting Diana. So she was a bright light. But the funny thing is, at that moment in time, she and I had many different beliefs, and she didn't at all even attempt to alter me. And she would listen to me as I talked to her, and I came from more of a religious background.
Uh-huh.
And she was more into things like astrology and things like believing in reincarnation and things of that nature. And those things I wouldn't even entertain or listen to at the moment. Make a long story short, now that we're at right this minute, I kind of think that maybe we were directed to meet each other. I think it was designed. At the moment, I couldn't see that. But it's like she and I are holding hands on this path together, discovering all this new stuff, and just absorbing it. And I'm so lucky to not be alone in this adventure, to have somebody sharing it with me. It's just wonderful.
It is wonderful.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed is that sometimes when one person in a relationship wakes up and starts to see what's going on, they've taken off those rose-colored glasses and they are seeing the world in a more, they're looking at things more analytically and starting to see some of the deliberate lies and deceptions that are perpetrated by various groups, including our government.
Right.
And one of the things that happens in relationships like that is that it causes a disturbance because the other person doesn't necessarily want to see. They don't want to know what's going on, and it causes a problem. You were very, very fortunate to find someone in your life that, first of all, was very accepting of who you are, who and what you are, This is Bob. Bob yeah. comes in this package, and Bob comes in this package with these beliefs. And for her to be so open to say, well, I don't believe the same things you are, but I still really like you. Let's make a life together and accept each other for who and what we are.
Yeah.
That is a very, very precious gift.
It is. It is. And along the way, I probably made a lot more changes than she has because the stuff that we've discovered is probably – she was more open to it than I was because I was more fixed and locked in my belief system. But there's been so many things that have helped. I think one thing that helped me tremendously is that little movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? I watched that a couple of times, and there was a statement in there by a scientist, and it says, almost everything that you have come to believe since the beginning of recorded history, almost everything has been proven wrong. I had to think about that. And I thought, if that's possible, we've got a lot of learning to do. So I'm fortunate. I do have a right brain and a left brain, and I have learned how to flip-flop at any time I want. And so I can go in my imagination mode, and I can say, well, if this were the scenario, how would it all add up? And I can project, and I can see some sense out of it. So I'm able to accept things. But I've learned, in order to see, first you got to know what you're looking for. Otherwise, you'll never see it. Secondly, you got to be willing to set aside your beliefs. And if you can do that, now there's a good chance you can go on learning. And there's so much more yet to learn. But movies like that helped me. I watched the Zeitgeist movie, and that opened up my eyes on a few things. And I know that every one of these movies comes from a point of view. So you got to look at it and say, okay, there's a belief involved here too. But still in all, we might learn something. And I've been open to learning, and that's where it's gone. I have about a year ago, after I attended a thing called the Awake and Aware Conference in Orange County, is put on by Project Camelot. We met so many interesting people there, had some private conversations with Bob Dean, and he's one of these guys that you instantly love. I mean, from the minute you meet him, you want to spend time with him. Nassim Harriman, I felt the same way about him. I met David Wilcox, and I met George Norrie, and a whole bunch of people there. And after that, then we did something a little unusual, but I believe that I was directed to go do this. It's another story. I would take time to get into it, but we ended up going to the Rosicrucian Fellowship in Oceanside and attending their summer class. And as I'm going there and gleaming what they had to say, I wrote another poem, and it's called I'm an Awakee. And,
Oh, good.
Would this be appropriate time to read that one?
Well, you know what? We're at the bottom of the hour, and we'll take a short commercial break, and
okay.
When we come back, I'd love to do that.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for listening to Freedomizer Radio this morning. Find us at freedomizerradio.com. We have a chat room there, and you're welcome to come and join us. If you have any questions for Bob or for me, please drop those in the chat room. I'll do my very best to pick those up. And if you'd like to call in and comment, or if you have any questions for Bob, please call 347-324-3704. And we'll be back after this short commercial message.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
Gossip here from Gorilla Radio, asking you guys to tune in Monday and Wednesday night. after the Proof Negative show.
Right here on Freedomizer Radio, the only network on the web that freedomizes your freedom. And please, people, do not believe the hype. We are not both cynics on Guerrilla Radio.
Wait, you're the cynical one, not me. I'm the realist here. Come on, Cam. You know everybody loves you, even though you're the biggest cynic out there.
Hey, now, Austin, I was talking about you.
Wait, no, no. We're talking about you. You're the cynical one.
I'm not the cynical one. You're the cynical one. Come on. Everybody knows you're cynical.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Hey folks, Valerie Sergeant Martin here, rebel agitator, Republican renegade, and host of the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. Twice weekly, I bring you guests who represent the best and brightest of the liberty movement, including best-selling authors, candidates, and legislators, and everyday activists, all patriots actively involved in taking back control of our government, putting power in the hands of the people where it belongs. We also talk economics, finance, international markets, and monetary policy. Anything and everything to do with free markets and capitalism. So friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter, and join me Sundays 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern and Thursdays 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern for the Valerie Sergeant Martin Show. And remember, extremism in defense of liberty is no vice.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Okay, well, thank you very much for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. Today our special guest is Bob, and he is an awakee. Will you tell us a little bit, Bob, about how you came to write this next poem that you're going to share with us?
All right. It was after a number of events, a number of things happened after that experience that I had where I walked the yard and prayed, and then I got slammed with that energy, and I turned my life into the direction of paying attention and being more open and saying, okay, you got something to show me, something to teach me. I am all ears. And then all the events we attended, I mean, the remote viewing class, meeting major dames, talking to them in the bar after hours about the really interesting things. Seeing David Icke event from morning till night was a long day. Probably about 6 Edgar Cayce events in the last year and a half. The Wake and Aware conference was probably the highlight of last year, where we just met so many interesting people. And then I even attended the Rosicrucian Fellowship Summer School last year. And we've been going there since, and they believed a lot of things that I didn't believe. But I says, okay, I was supposed to pay attention to something here. I was supposed to learn something. So I didn't leave because I didn't agree with everything. I sat, and I kept going back and meeting the people and learning things along the way. I know there is nobody walking around that has absolute truth and absolute full knowledge, because we're all human, and we're all experiencing life differently, and we're all speaking from our beliefs and our and all of that, but we can learn something from everybody. The real knowledge, the real truth, is basically off-planet, I came to believe. Now, everybody's got a different idea of what and who God is, because religions speak of it differently, but there are an awful lot of people on the planet that do believe there's an intelligence in the universe, and you never hear anybody badmouth Jesus Christ. You know, it's like the life he lived and the things he said. Everybody says, yeah, that sounds good. That feels good. I'd like to do more of that. And I have come to believe that he was a great example and certainly worth knowing about and worth studying. Anyway, after all of these things, and after I attended the Awaken Aware, and after I attended the Rosicrucian Fellowship thing, I wrote this poem. This is called I'm an Awakee. Shall I do it now?
Yes, please.
All right. I'm an awakee. I'm an awakee becoming aware. It started the day I started to care. Not long ago, it was day after day, get out to work, then go home and play. Too busy to notice the bees were not there. One day, the birds fell out of the air. The towers came down and turned into dust. What the hell happened? Who do you trust? The police state's in motion. There's wars everywhere. They've poisoned our food and water and air. They've dumbed down our kids by teaching them lies. To vaccinate babies should be no surprise. They keep us all sick and dependent on them and teach us our right brains no longer our friend. By routine, tied to the old gerbil wheel, they've made us all zombies that no longer feel. They've stolen our freedoms, the old shell game, while we were staring at who's got the fame. The law of our land is corruption and greed, and don't give a damn about things that we need. Can't you just feel it? You know that it's true. The question is, what are you going to do? I have a suggestion. It's not hard to try. Just open your eyes before we all die. Maybe there's more than just you and me that would like to restore this land of the free. There's one step to take to show that you care. Become an awakee, becoming aware.
Well, that just gives me the goosebumps.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said it gives me the goosebumps.
Oh, goosebumps, okay. Yeah, kind of did me too when I wrote it. I know. Yeah. That's where I was about a little over a year ago. And if I have to say that since that time, it's like my journey has been more of a spiritual journey since that point. I thought, you know, what I asked for was an understanding. Now, let me explain that word. First of all, there's knowledge. That's basically information that comes into your head. Wisdom is the ability to apply the knowledge. Understanding is seeing how the pieces all fit. So you don't necessarily have to have all the detail to have an understanding. In other words, you talk to somebody that you know is an expert on a field, like chemtrails. We attended a chemtrail conference here about 3 weeks ago, and we learned a lot of detail. Now, I could spend the rest of my year becoming a chemtrail expert, but
right.
I don't need to. I know what's going on, and I know who's behind it. I don't need to know exactly how they're doing it, or I don't have to meet the pilots personally that are spraying this stuff, and I don't have to, you know, get into resolving that problem. To me, that's one of 100 problems that are facing us right this minute. And it's serious, and it's worth looking at. And anybody that doubts their existence ought to take the time to look at it, because they're real. I'm seeing them in the sky as I speak. I'm looking up here right now, and it disgusts me because I can feel it in my lungs. I can feel it in my throat. But what I'm saying is that's one of the many, many, many directions we could get on. To me, that's a side trip, because my goal is to understand the big picture. So I know all I need to know about chemtrails, and I can move on to something else. I could focus on smart meters. I know how bad they are. I know they're not good for you. I know they're causing us damage and harm, and I know their intent and purpose. I know enough. I know about fluoride in water. I don't need to become an expert in that. I know it's not good for us. I know Hitler did it to keep his prisoners docile, and I know they're putting it in our water. So what I'm saying is there's a million causes, well, not a million, but 100 directions that we could spend all of our time and energy in, and I would applaud people to do that. And some people have to focus on the things that are passionate to them. GMO foods, oh, man, what a big topic that is. Right now, California has Proposition 37 coming up. I wish everybody would find out what that means, because we need these foods labeled, because they're not good for us. The food companies won't tell you that, and they'll spend millions and millions and hundreds of millions of dollars to confuse you, to make you think that it's going to hurt you by labeling the food with GMOs. The truth is, we need this knowledge to make an informed decision. They want to make our decisions for us. But I know all I need to know about GMO foods. I know who's doing it. I know why, and I don't need to know anymore. So I don't need to spend the next year of my life studying that. Here's what I need to know. I learned a little bit about a guy named Walter Russell. Walter Russell had a near-death experience at 7 years old. Then he walked the woods 3 or 4 times in his life. Each time he did, for 2 weeks at a time, he came back with knowledge he didn't have before he entered those woods. He wasn't reading books out there. He had a connection with the universe, and down somehow information was poured into his mind. There are other people out there that get their knowledge and well, David Wilcox, every morning he wakes up and writes down his dreams. He knows he's getting information while he's asleep. Coming, that California poem that I had, something woke me up in the middle of the night with these thoughts and made me get out of bed and write it down. I don't pay, other than that, I hadn't paid any attention to my dreams, but what I'm saying is there are people that have connection beyond this world. I'm talking about the supernatural, whatever form it takes, whether it comes through the hand of an ET or an extra-dimensional or a direct angel or directly from God. I don't really know. It doesn't really matter. All I know is the connection is real and it exists, that humans have a potential to learn and absorb information. Here's something else. Have you heard of the 100th monkey syndrome?
I have.
Okay. Okay, that was rather fascinating, okay? These monkeys over there on the islands in Southeast Asia, these baby monkeys were learning how to wash their food in the ocean when none of the other monkeys did. After, little by little, a few more monkeys would learn, and then a few more monkeys would learn, and next thing you know, all the monkeys were finally doing it. The interesting thing is the monkeys on the other islands also picked it up. Somehow that information traveled from island to island. It's an amazing thing. Okay, everybody that believes in religion believes prayers work.
Yes.
Almost everybody that believes in religion believes that community prayers have a great power. And so what I'm talking about is if people can come together in a proper mindset and ask for things for the benefit of mankind that are, unselfish. You can't say, I want to be king of the world. I want all the money. I want all the power. But maybe you could say, we want to end war. We don't want to hurt anyone. That's our intent. That's our desire. If everybody comes together with that mindset, my goodness, war will go away. We have that much power and influence. We can do it. But people are, again, they're on that gerbil wheel. They're mistaught. You know, in our schools today, they don't even teach children how to think anymore. They teach them, here's the question, here's the answer. Here's the question, here's the answer. They don't figure it out for themselves. They don't know how to do math. They take things like music and playground away from them because that's the time when the imagination is so, you know, fruitful and it's active, and they're trying to stop all that. And I say, okay, why are they working so hard to squash our imagination? Why are they killing our right brain? Why do they not want us to understand the value in coming together? I'm talking about in a positive, loving connection and asking for things for our benefit. There's an intent there. There's a design there. There's a purpose there. They don't want us to realize our true potential. They want control. They want total control. When I say they, I'm generally referring to the bad guys running the planet. I like to call them the SGBs. That stands for the selfish, greedy bastards. These are the people that I don't have any great love for because they have given themselves over to selfish intent. And they want all the power. They want all the control. And it's more than an individual thing. There are groups of them, and they're on certain levels working together. But I believe, after this journey that I've taken, that the real power is not in the hands of humans. I truly believe that there is supernatural forces that work behind them. I just haven't seen any direct evidence, so I can't tell you if it's ETs or demons or what it is. But I know that their plan extends, goes centuries sometimes, and humans don't make plans that long. You know, they want to see it happen in their lifetime or they don't want to bother with it. But the plans they put in motion go on and on and on and on. And then they seem to understand human nature better than we understand ourselves, and they put the psychology to work. But the thing that gave me hope is to realize that, wait a minute, they might have a lot of power right here and now, but they don't control the universe, and they don't control the real source of love and the real source of true knowledge in the universe. And as a matter of fact, if we appeal to that and reach out and try to connect to that, then we're no longer afraid. Now we're in a state of, well, love. If we love life, if we love mankind, if we love this this connection that we have potentially, man, they can't stop us. We can fix everything. And that's where I'm going at this moment in time. That's my main thrust, my main direction, is to try to solidify that, to try to make that firmer. And I'm beginning for the first time in my life to meditate. I never knew how, but I'm beginning to do it. And, you know, that's where my journey has gone. It's taken me through all this stuff. I feel like I understand what's wrong. I feel like I understand who's responsible. I feel like I understand what we need to do about it. And I feel that the real solution lies in individually making this connection and collectively thinking of the future we want, because I believe we have free will. And I believe that it's within our means, if we draw this connection tight with the love of the universe, to fix these problems. And, you know, when I see things like the little movie, the book about the water, and they did this in The Secret, I think, and also the What the Bleep Do We Know, and this guy did an exercise where he took and froze the water, and he put a note on it. And one note might say love, and another note might say hate. And then they took it out and reviewed it, and the crystals were opposite, so different. The one was beautiful and one was ugly. And it has something to do with the intent coming out of our minds influencing the molecules of the water. It's like, what? These molecules have an intelligence programmed into them? And somehow our thoughts and our intentions can alter them? I mean, if it's that simple, we can heal ourselves if we learn how.
Yes.
We can actually use energy to our advantage if we learn how.
Yes.
There's no stopping what our potential is. It's not that we humans have all the power within us, but we have the same kind of connection Walter Russell had when he connected and drew this power, this information into his head. And I met Nassim Harriman at this Awake and Aware, and I said, do you know Walter Russell? And he said, he's my hero. And he just, you know, thought, whoa, that's wonderful. I love him. Walter Russell was worth looking at. Nassim Harriman is worth looking at. But the most important thing, we've got to look at how we can draw on this connection we have with the real source of love in the universe. How can we make that connection? And then how can we come together as loving human beings and solve the problems of our world? I found something in my mind that is just so awful simple. It's going to sound too simple. A lot of people will just kind of dismiss it. But it's like this. You know, if you wake up in the morning and you look in the mirror and you change what you see, let's say you see somebody that is tired, just got out of bed, and you put on a smile and you let your eyes light up and you say, I love you. I'm going to go out here and love whoever I meet. I'm going to love mankind for the rest of the day. And I'm going to go out in a positive, excited mode. You have changed your demeanor. And now, instead of looking like somebody with drooping shoulders, somebody that, you know, life is falling apart, somebody that is a fearful state, you know, you just kind of walk around them because it doesn't feel good. Now the person is standing there with their shoulders in the air and a smile on their face and, you know, singing a song and whistling, dancing. You want to walk up and give them a hug because you want some of that. We are automatically drawn to this positive, loving connection, and yet we resist and walk away from the negative because it doesn't feel good. I believe that there are entities in this universe that we can attract or repel by the state we choose to be in at the moment. If we want to be in this negative, angry state, if we want to look at the world as, I hate this person because of this, or these people are all wrong on this issue, I'm going to spend all my day proving you wrong, we're going to draw in a lot of negative energy from a lot of negative entities that we may not want hanging around. But if we can put ourselves in that positive state, not only do we see things different, but we're all of a sudden we're sending out a different kind of energy. And these evil, these negative, this sourpuss energies run away from us because they're not enjoying that picture. And we're drawing just the opposite of what we want, love of the universe. So by choosing our state, by choosing our being, our world changes right there. And we get everybody doing that, we can fix everything.
I absolutely believe everything you just said, and it all rings true in my heart.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that you said is that I don't need to know everything about GMOs or chemtrails.
Yeah.
Because These issues are a distraction from the real.
Yes.
If you're busy learning, I'm not saying don't learn about them. I'm saying yes, learn about them. And I put together my website specifically to do that for people who don't have time to spend, you know, 50 or 60 hours to go and do the research on these subjects on my website. And that website address is the letter C, PHEPOWER.org. SeeThePower.org. And you can go and get enough information on chemtrails and fluoridation and vaccines, chemtrails, all of these issues, and get enough to know a little bit about what's going on so that you can lift yourself up above those distractions. Pay attention to them, understand them, know they're going on so you can make healthy choices for yourself, that you can get on the team, so to speak, when we're having trouble getting labeling on food, et cetera.
Yeah.
But you're not drawn down into and sucked into the negativity.
Yes. Yeah, see, I have thought that these guys that are managing this planet, these SGBs I talked about, in addition to keeping us sick on medication, in addition to keeping us dumbed down, in addition to keep us hypnotized with these TV shows and movies and all of that, they also, for those people that are searching, give us a million causes to spend all our time on. Pick and choose. You go off in this direction, they'll applaud you and say, yep, have an adventure, go learn all you can, be an expert in this field, because we're not doing them any harm by, we're not changing anything by doing that. We're on a side trip. And it pays to get back in focus and say, okay, what is the real important issue here? What is the real important thing here? It's like, for example, let's just take politics. You know, somebody might be a Democrat and say, what's wrong with the Republican Party? As a matter of fact, Rush Limbaugh is a great example. He spent his entire life telling you what's wrong with the liberals. And he's a comedian and he's smart, but it's like a focus. It's like one direction. Somebody else could put on a program with just the opposite point of view and be just as successful. And so the real truth is, at this moment in time, we do have a vote. If people would do one thing, forget Republicans and Democrats. Gerald Celente's got it right. Gerald Celente says they're two heads of the same monster. They're both corrupt. Neither one of them work anymore. If we just did one thing, if somebody was, you know, a position was open for a representative of any kind and we're voting on it, if we just simply said, okay, do you love your fellow man? How do we know? We talk to their friends and neighbors. What have they done with the last 20 years of their life? They've spent those 20 years, you know, trying to accumulate power and money and influence. They're the wrong people for that job. If they spent those 20 years, you know, just doing loving deeds, maybe it's somebody that really would represent us instead of somebody paying them to represent a particular cause. Somebody, you know, there are people that are not corruptible, but they're loving. Love is a high value with them. So we need to search out people that have the high value of love first in their lives and talk about, say, would you take this job and do it for us? We don't have the time to do it, but we would support you. And that's what we need to do. And forget about parties. Forget about anybody that's paying to get a cause in motion because they've got their own intention in mind. And so it's like that. All those causes, absolutely interesting. Absolutely good to understand, because when you start looking at it, you come to find out, wait a minute, there's not one thing wrong. Oh, wait a minute, there's something going on here. Wait a minute, somebody's designing a control grid, and in this control grid they're putting together, they don't want us to learn a few things. What is it they don't want us to learn? Maybe there's something we need to learn. And look, open eyes, start asking questions, start to see. I know there's a million people out there that are experiencing exactly what I've experienced in the last couple of years, and I'm meeting them every single day by chance. I don't know, maybe on purpose, maybe by design. But I'm just hoping that by having this kind of a conversation, we can get a couple of them to say, oh, maybe those synchronicities actually meant something. oh, maybe I should start paying attention to this. You know, if we can get them to think and turn off the TV for a while, you know, and don't be overwhelmed with the daily tasks, but find some time to actually start thinking, asking questions, searching for answers. There is help out there, and I think that some of the help is coming in the form of guardian angels, and I think they will put the stuff in front of you. All we got to do is see it. All we got to do is listen.
Point. Very good point. We've reached the top of the hour, and I would like to take our next commercial break, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
And then I'd like for you, when we come back, let's figure out what we're going to share with the audience when we come back.
Okay.
Do you have any particular ideas about what you would like to share?
I'll ponder that.
Okay. Good
okay.
idea.
Okay.
Good idea. The angels work on you. How's that?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all for tuning in and listening to Freedomizer Radio today. Our special guest, Bob, the awakee in my life, who steps out and wrote some lovely poetry and is sharing his thoughts and his experiences in this new awakening phase of his life. So thank you all for tuning in.
When we open our minds to the incredible, unlimited universe, we become participants in the active flow and infinite energy of life. We begin to live a much larger experience. We become free. In the magical universe, there are no coincidences and there are no accidents. You are here. You found Freedomizer Radio. See, the power in you is about sharing the light of who you are, exploring different points of view, different perspectives on topics for better health for your mind and your body. Join Miss Cookie and me every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. and Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time and grow the light of who you are right here at Freedomizer Radio.
Hey guys, tune in to the Heated Conversation hosted by me, Vicky.
UFOs, GMOs, and chemtrails, oh my.
We talk about anything and everything as long as it's hot. So call in and join the discussion live Thursday nights, 10:30 to midnight, and Friday nights, 9 to midnight Pacific. Only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Hello everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic. Great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com. And check it out and order it. Silver Leaf Tea.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Well, we are back. So thank you all for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. And I know that you didn't put your hand up, Miss Cookie. You've been sitting there so sweet and just listening. But I would really like for you to meet Bob. Hello, Bob. This is Cookie. Cookie, this is Bob.
Hi, Bob. Boy, it's so nice to have a support system out there that is speaking up and saying everything from your heart. It's such a good feeling to hear it from a different aspect and a different person. But you know what? Thanks for joining the Blue Team, and thank you for putting this all out there, because this is what Cheryl and I have been sharing with everybody, and we just love it. And thank you for being on the Blue Team.
Wow, thank you. You're very kind. I enjoy listening to you. Appreciate your thoughts. Very
and
helpful.
I really loved that last poem. It made the hair on my arm stand up, too. And, yes, your angels are with you. They're around you, and they are got you on a journey.
Yeah.
And as long as you continue, you know, people don't understand. I've said this on the program. I looked up the word meek, and it talks in the Bible about the meek inheriting the earth. And in the dictionary, it says a person that's teachable. And being teachable means that we're willing to listen, hear, and then pull out of whatever we listen and hear that tickles our hearts, that makes us a better person, or that we're able to utilize to help us on our journey. We absorb that, and then we share it, and we help others, and that's exactly what you're doing. And, you know, the things we don't understand, we set aside, and if it's important, the angels will bring it in later. And if it's something we need to know immediately, we, you know, get this inspiration to get on it right away and check it out. And then, like you said, once we check it out, the question is, now what do we do with this information? And what I've been sharing with everybody on Freedomizer Radio is, let's make it a matter of prayer, a proclamation, because what it does, like you said, that puts it out so that pretty soon it's in the universe, it's in the matrix, it's in the web. And what ends up happening is it spreads like wildfire, and it's just so awesome. I am so thankful Cheryl met you, and that she, with Synchrodestiny, put you on the radio program so all the people out there today can meet you, too, and connect with the rest of us. Oh, I'm just so thankful. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You make me feel so happy. That is wonderful. I thank you so much. I agree 100% with everything you said there. It's just, we are on the most marvelous journey of our lives. This is the most exciting time to be alive. And it's amazing because things are so bleak.
It's so wonderful.
Planet. Okay,
I wake up, I feel high. I feel like I'm higher than a kite, and I don't have any drugs in me whatsoever. Every day is so exciting, and every day is so enlightening, and every day is like a real major experience. It's like opening presents every single day.
Right. Yeah, that's what it is. We're not alone. No reason to be down. And the most important thing to learn is about love. Number one, if we understand love and how to express love, if we have love for a fellow man, we're not going to be focused on what they're doing wrong and how bad they are, how nasty they are, what they believe that's wrong. We're going to be looking for help in making their lives better. War will go away.
What I do is when it's very easy for me to be very positive and go with the flow, but when something negative comes my way, the first thing I do is make it a matter of prayer and ask the angels to tell me how I can counteract this. And the first they say to me is, what would you do under these circumstances if you had to be loving? How would you be loving, and how would you handle the situation? So if somebody says something to me that isn't nice, or steps on my toes or tries to hurt me, I just turn and smile and say, that's very interesting. Thank you so much. I love you. And I walk away. The minute you do that on the red team, they can't handle light and love and kindness, and they turn around and they just flee from you and it just disappears. It's kind of like all of a sudden they become pixie dust. They just disappear, you know. And it's kind of like, okay, that was another test, but boy, that turned out really cool.
Well, it's an exciting time to live. That's all I can say. It's just, I'm so happy that I'm actually being able to be a part of this thing. It's just exciting. We don't have time for television anymore. We used to go to the movies all the time. We don't find time for that anymore. I wish I didn't have to work anymore, but I better not say that too loud because I do need just to learn a few dollars.
You can continue working like that, financial freedom to be able to go to all the places and see all the people and meet all the people we need to meet, right?
Yeah, that'd be nice. meanwhile, I keep painting houses because that's what I do for a living. But I don't focus on that. I just get the job done, and then I put my mind on something better. And what's really interesting is it seems like almost every place that I work, I meet some really interesting people and have some really interesting conversations.
I'll tell you, you met one of the nicest people you've ever met is Cheryl.
Yeah.
And the things that she has been learning and the journey she's been on and the stuff she's been teaching everybody, she actually taught me how to get on the internet yesterday. So that was my very first time of doing that, and I actually found Freedomizer Radio, and I actually found her website, and I am so excited because I was so scared of the computer before, and now she taught me not to be afraid of it.
Yeah, that's really nice. That's helpful. It's a useful tool.
Yes, and I'm very, very excited. I've learned so much from her. Like an angel in a physical body out there in California.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, thank you both. And we have another caller. So I'd like to take another caller. Caller from area code 646. Your mic is live. Are you there, caller? She might take a moment there to unmute her phone, so we'll let her come in when she gets back.
Okay.
Maybe she makes cookies.
Like Sarah out there in New York. 646.
Yeah, I think that is Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll let her come in when she gets back.
Okay.
We'll try her again. So Bob, what else would you like to share with the audience?
Okay. I have a couple of thoughts. One thought is this. Everybody is an individual. We all use our minds differently. We all have had different experiences. We are all influenced by parents as when we're young, and we're all influenced by our environment, and we all grow up with different belief systems. What we have to do is recognize the differences are fine. Doesn't matter where you start. At some point in life, you can take charge and guide your steps. And as adults, we are actually there. It's just sad that the system we're living under doesn't teach us that. They teach us that we're totally dependent on somebody else to make decisions for us. Well, it's time to wake up and make a decision on which direction to go. And there is help, and the help really is loving. So it's like, ask for that help. And the next step is going to be better. And then say, just show me the right direction, and there'll be an influence. And it isn't going to be anybody standing there holding your hand and making you. It's going to be influence. And it may come in the form of a person. It may come in something you read. It may come in something you find on the internet. Be open. Be aware. Learn any which way your mind learns. There's many, many ways, and it doesn't matter how fast. Just start moving in the right direction. And always remember that the number one thing is learn how to have love in your heart. If it isn't there, study the love. Study the subject. Learn what it is. Learn what it means. And ask God to help you to be more loving. Because the world is not necessarily a loving place. It's kind of a mean place. And you got to kind of like step outside of that to be in that loving state. But it is absolutely It's definite. It can be done. You just got to do it.
it can be done, and it's done one person at a time,
yeah.
Like you, and the energy that you put out, and the energy field that you are affecting,
yeah,
is bigger than we can imagine.
Yeah, because every one of us has an effect not only on I mean, it multiplies on everybody that you meet, and they turn around and meet another dozen people. So if we want to see a change in this world, we got to be a change. We got to be the change we want to see. The other thing is, don't underestimate the power of your own will. I believe we have free will. I believe that they are sitting there saying, okay, what are you going to do with your free will? You know, are you going to sit back and just take it and be a victim all your life? Or are you going to say, no, this is the intent, this is the desire I want for my life, this is how I want to see things get better. Step in that direction, and it'll radiate. And if we get enough people out thinking the same, and don't be discouraged by all those that are hypnotized or all those that are brainwashed to being psychopaths and managing these various elements that these SGBs have under their control. They don't qualify, they don't count, they don't have a connection right now that's alive. But there are many of us that do, many of us that are still in control of our minds, still in control of our spirit, and seeking the true love of the universe, and we can find it because it wants to be found, and it wants to help us improve our lives and decide what is it we want for our lives. How do we want to improve this planet? How do we want things to get better for our kids and grandkids? Make a thought, make it an intent. And the elements will just line up that way. It'll get better.
It will, and we have to trust in that.
Yeah.
Putting our trust in the universe and the angels, in God. See, the one thing that I found absolutely fascinating is the last time that you and Diana and I got together,
yeah,
was the conglomerate of people that were at the table.
Yeah.
And the differences, Christian, it didn't matter what anyone's religious beliefs were.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth, the real truth of human connectedness was shining through like this huge beacon of light. It was a delight to see.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I felt it. Yeah.
We had a very interesting. I wanted to share this with you. I don't know that I've shared this with you. The young lady that was at the table with us.
Mm-hmm.
She's only, I think she's 16 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the poem. You know, they're poisoning our air and our food, et cetera. That
yeah.
One little line there completely freaked her out.
Oh.
And her mother called me when, you know, after we met, and she said, you know, this was just really, it was really difficult for Hannah. And we had a very long conversation, actually, about her, the disruption in her own personal energy. And I said, it gave us this opportunity to explore the idea that Hannah is 16 or 17 years old. If she doesn't know about these issues now, she needs to, because, and not in a scary way, and I did go back to my website and look and make sure that it wasn't, nothing was presented in a big scary way. It's an informational website, because I want to be able to send, I want to be able to send 14-year-olds there.
Mm-hmm.
Create a disturbance in their energy. I want to create what you were saying. We're excited to be in this time of life. But, you know, just the fact that she's 16, 17 years old, and she's going to be going to college before very long, and mom and dad won't be there to protect her.
Their strength.
And counteract the energies that she might run into or the information that she runs into. And we know how often teenagers, you know, when they're off on their own, they're just absorbing everything. They're not coming back to their parents going, what about this and what about that and what about that? some do. And I think Hannah is one of those children that do come to her parents. But what happens is as they start to get out in the world and get their sea legs, they do that less and less. So we need to send them out as armed as possible with critical thinking, like you were saying.
Yeah, I doubt if there's one prescription that's going to work for everybody. No matter what you say, it's probably going to excite some people and disappoint others, depending on their status in life. But the thing is, you can't stop talking, and you can't be worried about, if you're going with your heart and what you're saying you know to be right and helpful and valuable, you got to share it. You got no choice.
You got no choice, exactly. And we have somebody that feels they've got no choice, and they put their hand up and would like to speak. So caller from area code 870, your mic is live.
Well, hello there, Mrs. Cheryl. How are you? This is Mars.
I'm saying, hi, Mars. How are you today?
I am alive and well, thank goodness. Had
thank
a
goodness.
Rough scare last night. Had to go to the ER, but it just proves that not everything that you eat is good for you. Life and our surroundings are definitely changing. I would like to comment on something that Cookie said earlier concerning in my show. I was just writing part of my monologue that's coming on after this show, and she immediately touched upon the exact inverse of what I had wrote, and I thought, this is so remarkable. She said, and the meek will inherit the earth. And in my show, I had just written a monologue out of the Bible in which Jesus had said that during that time, that even with all these things that are about to happen on our planet, that they would still curse God for the terrible things that will come in those days. And me and Hans were talking in the chat room, and when she looked up that definition, one way to say it is the teachable will inherit the earth. And we know that in this day and age that it is vitally important that people understand what the real way and the real truth is. And I want to applaud y'all. It's a wonderful show, and I love listening to you, Cheryl.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Mars. I appreciate that very much. I know that you're one of our big fans here at Freedomizer Radio, and I appreciate that. Mars has a show, the Watchers Prophecy Network, and that's at 1:30 on Fridays. So stay tuned for that show a little later on this afternoon. And
absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Cheryl. I appreciate the plug, and I look forward to hearing the rest of y'all's show, and I'll continue to listen. But bravo. Very inspirational. I love y'all's positive attitude and positive vibrations. They are really good.
Thank you.
I enjoyed you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mars. And again, Mars' show is on today at 1:30, Watchers Prophecy Network, and he's going to be talking about what could happen in a nuclear fallout situation and ways to protect yourself. So check that out today. And let's try and see if we can get Sarah in here. Sarah, you're there? I think she put her hand up and then went to go wash dishes. I'll try her again later. She's such a sweetheart. I love Sarah. She's got a wonderful heart, and she's a very deep thinker. So I like to hear what she has to say when that hand goes flying. Okay. Somebody talk, because I lost my train of thought.
Okay, I'll say something. I know that I'm not alone in this journey, but the reason I wanted to talk openly a little bit about my experience was just simply in hopes that maybe I might help somebody else consider that all these strange things that are happening on the earth right now might possibly be by design. And then you have to ask, what if we might be able to do something about it? What if there really is help and hope? And there's still time to find out, but not much. So, like, I don't think we got a long time to go. I think we got to pay attention right now. I think that the word awakening seems to be popping up more and more in people's vocabulary. I think it's happening all over the world on different levels and different ways. And I think that just that's people's way of learning things. The only thing is, I would encourage people not to be held back by, I'm going to say this, some of the religious beliefs can actually stop people from seeing beyond. And I think it's really a good idea to see past it a little bit, because I think it's so much broader. I'm of the belief that in the near future, most of the religions that we see won't be in existence. I think we're going to come down to a more of a spiritual-minded thing, and I think that the truth will out in the end. And whichever way it goes, I'm okay with. I'm flexible. I can adjust. But not everybody is. I think some people are so fixed and firm, if it doesn't go quite the way they think it should, they're going to be hurting. And I think that people right now got to say, okay, I don't know everything. And, you know, some of these people out there think their religion is the only one. And I got to say that I think around the world that God finds people that are loving and in all walks of life, and maybe among all religions, even some of those you might not like. So that's what I feel. I think the picture is the answer is not clear. And I think the future will clarify it. And I think we just got to be open to whichever way it goes. That's my mind.
That's a very, very good point. Being open to new ideas is where it's at. Opening our minds instead of being closed down. One of the things that you mentioned earlier brought something else to mind. I wondered if you had seen the YouTube video, The Concept of Self.
No.
Ah. I'll email that, the link to that for you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. It's an incredible, it's long. It's long. And, you know, you'll find little bits and pieces in there, and maybe in the very beginning that seem a little bit tedious. But if you have the tenacity to hang with it and watch the entire movie, it will give you a perception of how we have been manipulated beyond anything that we have discussed today.
Yes.
It is absolutely incredible, the workings behind the scenes that have been going on for years and years to manipulate the masses and get them to think the way that someone else wants to get them to think in order to control their behavior. And I think what's happened is that people are breaking away from those the molds. And we're creating a new world. With the internet the way it is, I don't think I think that was one thing that the red team had no idea what was going to happen when the internet was unleashed. And I'm very, very grateful for that information and all that. Emergency.
I was pondering that last statement. I agree. Yeah, this is the time to have an open mind if there ever was one. And, you know, like Jesus said, be like a small child and be willing to learn. You know, because there's one thing is, there's a lot more yet to learn than we've already learned.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot to learn. And my friend Tom Casella says, I don't know what I don't know.
Yes.
I love it. It's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so easy to remember. We're at the bottom of the hour again and need to take a commercial break. And when we get back, I'd like to hear what your what your plans are for your future growth and your, well, I guess your vision of what the future can hold. Because I admire your mind, and I love that. So thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. Check us out, freedomizerradio.com. If you're a little unfamiliar with the website, we have a chat room there, and there's a player where you can play the live shows and the last few shows previous to that. Find the archives under FR Tour at the top of the page, and also find our calendar there where we post all of our information for upcoming guests. And then I have a couple of announcements to make, and we'll be back.
Hello, everyone. Proof here again. I want to let you know about our brand new sponsor, Silver Leaf Tea. Now, as you guys know that have listened to me for years, I am a tea aficionado. I have hundreds of different flavors and styles at my house, and Silver Leaf has exactly the kind of stuff that I look for. I love loose tea, great antioxidants. I just love the taste of it, and this Silver Leaf has black, they have green, they have white, they have organic, great for hot tea and iced tea. Silver Leaf Tea, it's right on our website, freedomizerradio.com, and check it out and order it, Silver Leaf Tea.
Check out our other affiliate programs here on freedomizerradio.com. When you support those affiliates, you support Freedomizer Radio, and we appreciate all the support we can get.
Hey Freedomizers, Val Villano here. I am proud to announce the premiere of Recharge Radio, my new show right here on Freedomizer. It's Monday through Thursday from 3 to 5 Pacific. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order. Being a New World Order analyst for many years, my expertise on tactics and master plan implementation carried out by the elitists who govern our world, I base my theories on objective probability analysis on both current and past events to bring a new light of understanding in the world in which we live. I believe I have a dynamic news coverage with intel information from insiders in revealing their strategy to the public to help you prepare. Along with my superior guest interviews, I also believe that we will be taking a commanding lead in quality journalism to the airwaves right here on Freedomizer. Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Objective journalism rising against the New World Order.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Freedomizer Radio is a groundbreaking internet radio station. Call 347-324-3704 while you're at the beach, at the grocery store, hanging out at the park, at your friend's house, put us on speakerphone. Share Freedomizer Radio with your friends. 347-324-3704. Join the revolution of mind.
Fed up with the lies, manipulation, and deceptions of everyone else's opinion? Tired of being ridiculed and conforming to other standards because your standards are based in biblical principles? In truth, there is liberty. Blessings, Freedomizers. Join me, Servant Emmanuel, right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network as I host the Sound Doctrine Christian Ministries program every Tuesday and Saturday afternoons, noon Pacific Standard Time, 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, for truth according to the Holy Scriptures. with like-minded individuals who are not so heavenly minded that they are no earthly good. Let us stand together, freedomists, not in their truth, not in our truth, but the truth according to the Word of God. We will have prayer, biblical studies, occasional guests with world news, with issues that are of concern to the body of Christ. Come and fellowship with us as we stand against the coming new world order. Blessings and peace to your home. Sound Doctrine on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Minister Daniel has several programs here at Freedomizer Radio on Tuesday at noon and Saturday at noon. And Sundays, I want to say 10:30. You'll have to check our schedule to be sure. So thank you all for supporting Freedomizer Radio. I appreciate it. Let me check and see what kind of announcements we might have going on here in backstage. We have the Watchers Prophecy Network today at 1:30. And the Heated Conversation tonight, 9 p.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Your host, Vicki, Audie in Reno. Sonia from the Truther Girls will also be there. Joanna Johnson from Illuminating Minds and her co-host, Mo Renee, and the queen co-host, Miss Rosie Super Sweet, a.k.a. Hottie's Mom. So join the women tonight on this all-girl panel roundtable discussing the hot issues facing us in the world today. I wanted to also let you all know one of our very own chatters is going to come on tomorrow at 4 p.m. Pacific time on See the Power in You. He's a fireman, and we're going to learn what it is to be a fireman from an insider, the ups, the downs, the rewards, the past, the present, and the changes in that profession as we move forward. So I hope you'll tune in and join us there. So, Bob, tell us what you think about our future and what you see in the future from your point of view.
Okay. I think in the immediate future we got a bumpy ride. I think that these SGBs still have power on the planet and still have a plan they're working out. There's a thing called Agenda 21. I think it's real. I think there's a lot of them that are tuned in to making it a reality. I think that it involves things like making a lot of us sick. They want to reduce world population. The number one line on the Georgia Guidestone says maintain Earth population at about 500 million people. Not too positive. So I see these leaders as not full of love in their heart for mankind, but on assignment, carrying out their assignment. At the Awaken Aware convention, I met a couple of people that introduced themselves as super soldiers. One was Duncan O'Finian. I saw his program online before I met him. But when I looked him in the eye and I shook his hand, put my hand on his shoulder, I knew that he was speaking the truth. And his girlfriend, I think her name Amanda, was there. Oh, man, tears come in your eyes when you hear their story. But his story is when he was 7 years old, he was handed off by his mother to this agency that took him and reprogrammed his mind, and they started off by torturing them to the point where they lose track of who they are and what reality is. And they end up using them to carry out dastardly deeds of any kind without a memory on their part, a lot like the Manchurian Candidate. So these things do happen in the world. They're real. They can program people. They can use people. They can do things they want to do. And I couldn't help but think, and it's interesting how recently I came across somebody wrote a book called The Manchurian President. So somebody else is having this kind of a thought. I thought, they can do that for these guys that are super soldiers. They could do it for guys that are politicians or powerful world leaders or company managers or whatever, bankers or whatever they want to do with them. So I think a lot of these guys that have positions of power and authority don't act on behalf of people. They are just doing what they're told to do. And their assignment is clear and it's laid out. So this is going on in the world, and this is confronting us, and this is tearing our world apart, and it's going to make our immediate future very difficult. But at the same time, as I said before, they're not controlling the universe. They have no control over the angels. And as a matter of fact, I happen to believe there's other living entities on other planets that a lot of them might be friendly and visiting from time to time. Well, that's another story. Anyway, bottom line is, I'm just not paying attention to the horrible things they're doing on a day-to-day basis so much. I already learned about it. I understand it. And I'm much more interested in how I can draw closer to the connection of love in the universe, and that's where I'm focusing. And I think as more and more people begin to do that, and I think they will, I think that awakening is happening and it's real, and the tide will turn and people will resist, and I think they'll find their programs fall apart and crumble. But meanwhile, we may see some scary times. And I think that it's absolutely necessary that some of us can stand up positive and firm and help our fellow man through these difficult times, because there's a majority of people are still hypnotized and asleep because of programming of TV and whatever. And they want to believe what they're told by the news programs and the politicians. So they accept everything as normal, but it's not. And I think they're going to be in for a rude awakening and shock, and a lot of people are going to be scared. So I see the immediate future as a bumpy road, scary time for a lot of people, and a lot of people are going to be need to be comforted and help through it. It won't go on forever. We're not going to all die off. There's not going to be a world catastrophe that destroys the planet. Although, I told you about the remote viewing class, and I met Major Dames. Major Dames is 90% accurate on his forecasting. He saw a super solar flare destroying most of the world last year. But he took his family and moved to Ukraine. So there is this view out there, and there's a lot of beliefs, but all of those will keep you in a state of fear. And that's the number one thing they want us to be in. And you got to break out of that. You got to just draw to the love and draw to the hope and draw to the positive thing. Otherwise, you'll just be buried with all this negative stuff. And know that in the end, whether it's going to take a week, a month, a year, or 5 years, I don't know. But in the end, it's going to be okay. Because, you know, in the end, these selfish, greedy bastards are going to be taken out of their positions of power. And they're not going to have the control that they've had. Their plans are decaying. Their plans are falling apart. And I know it's going to be all right in the end. I just don't know how fast. But I know, meanwhile, it's going to be bumpy. So I don't want to scare anybody with that, but that's what I see coming. And I, you know, base that on a lot of different sources that I've accumulated. And I think there'll be a lot of people in fear and a lot of people that might even panic. And each of them need to be comforted. So there has to be a fair amount of us standing up, still able to smile and say, it's going to be okay. Let me comfort you. Let me give you a hug. Let me show you what I know. Let me help you see something better. And that's what the people are going to need, especially our family members that are still blind. There it is.
Exactly. Well, I absolutely agree with you that the more people we have standing in their power, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah.
If when things start to get a little, oh, Haley Bear, I'm sorry, honey. I live in a very small space, and I share that small space with an 85-pound, seems like a small horse at times. And she's right here in my space right now. We do. We have to stand in our power. And one of the things that we stand in our power is affirmations. Would you share with our audience the affirmation that you and Diana do every morning?
Yeah, I'll walk across the yard to where we have it over here. I was sitting on a little cement bench there in the corner. Hang on a second, I'll be there. But, yeah, it's that puts us in a that reminds us of what we need to be focused on. So rather than say it from memory, I'll go read it here and see.
Okay, good. Because I really appreciate, please share with Diana my appreciation for all the time and effort that she put into that affirmation. Yeah. And I'm just so grateful that we get to share this with our listeners.
Okay. It says, I take a stand on but one side today. I side with truth and let illusion go. I'll not vacillate between the two, but take a firm position with the one. God's peace and joy are mine. Let me be still and listen to the truth. Let me remember I am one with God. In quiet I receive God's word today. No one can fail who seeks to reach the truth. I trust the plan and expect to have freedom from fear, freedom from want, freedom of speech, freedom to worship God. Help us help ourselves for the highest and best good for all concerned. That's it.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Now, put us in the right state and help us remember, you know, where we need to focus, where we need to work.
Exactly. And I would like to share a little bit from the cookie jar, if I can. Are you ready, Cookie? Okay, we'll try that again in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Cookie always puts together a lovely selection of proclamation here, usually at the end of our shows, so that we can kind of gather our energy and focus it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Miss Cookie, are you there? Okay, well, we'll try that back in just a minute.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciated your viewpoint. I think that people are they're I'm almost the word has almost been overused. That you know, wake up, like, well, I'm awake. I don't like to rub people the wrong way. You know, I really want them to be aware of what's going on. And it seems to me that the word is used an awful lot. And once a word is used too much and has drawn a little bit of a negative connotation, it can turn people off.
Mm-hmm.
Another word that's used an awful lot is change.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one that stands the test of time. I wanted to, I'm going to introduce a new segment to See the Power in You, and it's called the Butterfly Effect.
Mm.
And what I would really like for people to do is to either call in and share their own personal experience with the butterfly effect. What small thing happened in your life that turned into something you didn't have any clue about and you'd like to share with the audience? If you are a little bashful and you don't want to share on the air, please feel free to send that to me via email, seethepower@gmail.com. And
good idea.
Butterfly effect in the subject. Mm-hmm. Working on actually having a prize for anyone who sends in such a story and is read on the air. So I hope that we will stimulate people to share their personal experiences on the butterfly effect. And we'll have a little bit more about that on Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So I hope you'll tune in for that. Cookie, have you returned?
Yes, I have.
Oh, good. Well, we would love to have a proclamation that your angels have chosen for us today.
Okay. I want to say something to Bob. Bob, thank you for putting hope out there for all of our audience. And the thing that's so important is, it's interesting, like you said, that you kind of have opened your mind and the blinders have come off and you're on your journey, and yet you didn't really get started on this journey until in your 70s. And what I've been trying to share with people, it doesn't matter what our age is, But as we start getting older, a lot of people think life is slowing down and we're going to quit and there's nothing for us to do and we're useless. And because we're getting up in age and maybe we're retired, now we don't have our job and our kids are grown up and everything's changed. But in actuality, my life has sped up. And I realize now I have more time to think, more time to put thought out there, more time to focus on what I want instead of what I don't want, more time to change the universe by being a positive light bearer that's putting out the word, and yet at the same time it's benefiting me by making me healthier and happier and more positive, and yet at the same time meditation and prayer, I have no problem sitting still now because now my mind is going in the right direction. And I just wanted to tell you how wonderful it is for people to know that my friends between 50 and 100 years old are doing all the same. And you know what? We love it. And thank you, thank you, thank you for speaking up and putting out your thoughts today.
Wow, wonderful, powerful statement. Thank you. It's nice to know you.
Well, it's nice to know you, and thank you.
Mm.
And I will find a proclamation for all of us.
Oh, great. Great. I look forward to these proclamations every day, and if I don't get my fill here 4 days a week, I'm contacting Cookie to find out, okay, what kind of proclamation do you have for me today? Or if I've got a specific issue that I need help with, I feel comfortable with contacting her. I hope that our listeners, if you would like to have a special proclamation for you for a particular issue that you are experiencing in your life, that you will call in and allow Miss Cookie to help you with that. And you can do that by calling 347-324-3704. We're here Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 10 in the morning, and on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So please take us up on that offer.
And the one we have for today is called Reclaiming My Wholeness.
Okay.
I call forth all energies and aspects of my being that I have released, pushed aside, or failed to embrace, to stand before me as I stand before you in love. I resent all intentions by which I released, separated from, or ignored these energies. And I ask you to forgive and honor me as I forgive and honor you. I thank you for the lessons we have shared, but I now transmute all bonds between us into unconditional love and embrace you into my oneness, and so it is. Take a deep breath and exhale. So be it. Amen.
Amen.
Wow.
Powerful,
yeah.
Powerful, Cookie. Thank you so much.
Wonderful.
And this one is for Bob, because this is what Bob talked about today, embodying consciousness. In other words, as we conscientiously use our conscience to put out our thoughts of love and oneness, we connect with all those other individuals that are doing the same. And synchrodestiny happens just like with Cheryl and Bob and Diana. And what happens is the world, which we thought was such a big place, is a very small place, because what happens is we're all connected in the matrix of the energy field, which is going worldwide right now. So from the divine love that flows within my being, I acknowledge and honor the journey I have chosen to embody the consciousness of humanity so I may nurture and cradle it in my being. I choose to transmute these thought forms and energies on all levels of consciousness into unconditional love and embrace them into my oneness, and so be it.
Powerful.
And I am enjoying being a wakey. I love being an awakey.
Yeah, thank you.
I hope that you will pop in every once in a while, Bob, and share
okay.
your experiences and share the parts of your journey with the audience.
Uh-huh. And Diana too.
Okay.
Absolutely. I know she's hanging back there listening, so
yeah.
Thanks so much for supporting this wonderful entity that has the name Bob.
And by the way, Bob, you have quite a few angels around you. People a lot of times call me to see how many angels they have or how many
really?
Negative entities or energies. And you have no negative energies or entities, but you do have 733 that are around you that are
Whoa.
At your call. And if you send them out to do some information or bidding or help you connect with certain individuals or do different things, you have quite a few around you.
Why?
So just wanted to let you know, as all they have to know that you believe and that they are willing to be utilized, and because your energy field's clean and your physical body's clean and your mind's nice and clean and open, they're utilizing you, and they love it. They just love you keeping them busy.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Well, I normally don't, but the thing is I like to do it when there's an individual out there that's doing all this work, you know, and putting out all this wonderful love and positive energy and information. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Man, wow, that brings tears to my eyes. Thank you for sharing that with me. Appreciate it.
Welcome. Your angels just wanted you to know that, though.
Wow. Okay. Big responsibility.
Well, what it is that it's really nice to know that you have partners.
Yeah,
and you
we're
have
not alone. We're not alone. No, it's just, that's why I'm so excited and hopeful. I mean, I'm actually feeling it. It's not just the mental awareness. I'm actually feeling good. I mean, I'm walking my backyard and I see those chemtrails up there and they're not scaring me. I'm seeing the blue sky beyond it. I'm seeing the green leaves. I'm listening to, you know, the insects. And most of it's pretty good. Most of it's pretty good. Life is still here. And just beginning to learn that we have a connection that I didn't realize before. And
just remember, anything negative out there, we just got to counteract it with love or positive,
yeah.
what we want,
yeah.
not what we don't want.
Yeah.
And if we ask the Creator to protect us from chemtrails, He's willing
yeah.
to do it instantly, and as all we have to do is put a guard up around our energy field and block out the vapors from those chemtrails. Our angels are willing to protect us, just like protecting Daniel from the lion, shutting the mouth, or protecting Meshach,
yeah.
Shamrock, and Abednego from being thrown in a furnace and not burning a hair on their head, or protecting Elijah or any of the experiences in the Bible where there's people that were coming, a whole army to kill Elijah, and yet there was more with him than there was with them. You know, he blinded their eyes and they couldn't even see him. We can be protected by having our angels protect us. And if something's coming our way and we make it a matter of prayer, our angels will block it for us. One angel, if they can kill 185,000 Assyrians in one night, what do you think with 733 angels around you can do? You know what? I feel like I'm walking on water. I'm turning water into wine, and it's just a wonderful feeling to be able to feel like that every day.
Yeah. Wow.
It's programs like this that give me hope about the human endeavors here on Earth. we have so much going for us. And when we stand in our own power with others, the amount of energy that we can create is phenomenal. And if you doubt that for even 1 second, go to a concert. People who are
motivated. And I just met Marv, Synchrodestiny. I was making soup, when was it, Wednesday, and I couldn't turn off the phone, and I listened to his program for the first time, and it was a wonderful program, and he was talking about his stones and smudging and that how he had just come back from a ride, and very positive and very, very uplifting program. So I hope people tune into other programs and hear what others have to say too.
Exactly. Well, thank you all for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio today. Thank you, Bob, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate it. And I'd like to end our show today with a song that is by Tatiana Moroz. And her last name is Moroz. Go find her on the internet and check out her music. She is a truth musician, and she's there to help encourage all of us because we are all on the same side. So God bless everyone. Take care, Bob.
Thank you. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you.
Big hug for me.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Cookie. I love you.
I love all of you. Thank you so much.
Need a better perspective. Need some time to reflect it. To remember how similar we all are. We all want the same thing. A chance to follow our dreams. To raise a family of love and liberty. So don't forget. Late in the